The Oakland Raiders have signed safety Sean Richardson to a surprisingly lucrative offer sheet. Will the Packers match the offer? We'll discuss on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Yes, that is the theme song to The Match Game, the 1970s and 1980s game show. I believe it was even around in the 60s and the 90s as well. But I think it's appropriate here a day after we learn that safety Sean Richardson has signed an offer sheet with the Oakland Raiders, and let's talk about that.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers here on this Wednesday, it was Tuesday that Richardson was signed to an offer sheet by the Oakland Raiders. And this was first reported by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Many other outlets since that time have reported the same thing. And Sean Richardson becoming just the latest target of Oakland general manager Reggie McKenzie, the former Packers front office executive. Richardson could become just the latest former Packer to sign with the Raiders, following in the footsteps of not only James Jones and C.J. Wilson, but also fellow defensive backs Charles Woodson and Brandon Ross. It's becoming Green Bay West out there almost as much as Minnesota. Perhaps they're vying for the that title. But, it's interesting. For a guy that missed an entire season due to a cervical issue in his neck, actually a neck fusion surgery, missed an entire year off from football. I thought when the Packers offered the lowest tender to Sean Richardson, that was safe. And I think people generally agree with that. I never heard a single person, never saw a single, so much as a single tweet on Twitter of a person advocating, that lowest tender, that's too low. The Packers might lose Sean Richardson. They should put a higher tender offer on him. Never heard that anywhere. So I this is coming rather out of the blue. I don't think many people saw this coming whatsoever. Heck, I thought if there was anybody who could possibly get a tender offer from another team, it would be offensive lineman Don Barclay. Not that I think that's likely either, him coming off an ACL injury, but I just thought, he may be a more enticing offensive lineman as compared to Sean Richardson at the safety position. Not that I don't like Sean Richardson, but anyway, the Raiders reportedly offered a contract worth $2.55 million, essentially the cost of the middle level tender, except that the Packers still only receive the right to match the offer. They don't get any draft pick compensation if Sean Richardson happens to leave. Now, if they had they put the middle offer on him, they could have gotten the second round draft pick, but I mean that would have, totally negated probably any offer the Raiders would have made. Had the Raiders known it would have taken a second round draft pick to get Sean Richardson, they wouldn't have done it. But still, I still think the Packers did the right thing. I don't know. I guess you can look at it and they're going to have to pay it anyway. But I just, again, in hindsight, I mean, nobody was advocating putting anything but the lowest tender on Sean Richardson. Now, what's really interesting here is that the contract that was offered is almost fully guaranteed, and this according to Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where I saw it first, the Raiders have offered a $1.35 million signing bonus, a $1 million guaranteed base salary, and a $200,000 roster bonus due at the start of training camp. Now, this is something the Packers simply just do not do, especially the guaranteed base salary part. That they just don't guarantee an entire season worth of salary. I mean, what if he ends up going on injured reserve? You're still paying that full amount. And that would seem to be the reason the Packers may not match the offer if they don't. If anything is standing in the way, it's that this is like almost a guaranteed contract. And you can see that the Oakland Raiders really made it tough here on the Packers. That they gave them something to think about. This isn't like a no-brainer. You know, I can see how people, even though we'll get to this in a second, I think the Packers should match it, but I can see why this is a little bit of a head scratcher, and you're going to take your time with thinking this through. Now, the Raiders have lots of salary cap space, so it's not a big deal to them to sign Richardson for this amount of money. But, I mean, in general, so do the Packers. That maybe they don't have as much salary cap space as the Raiders. But, you know, I think they still have enough to retain Sean Richardson. You know, what it's been reported by these various outlets, you know, Journal Sentinel, in addition to sites like OverTheCap.com, that the Packers have, you know, in essence, $17-18 million in cap space. So, I mean, it's there. Yeah, you can carry over some. Yeah, they still have a few signings the Packers have yet to make, like John Kuhn, maybe Jarrett Bush, things like that. But and possible contract extensions. But in general, Packers have lots of salary cap space. So I think the Packers will match the figure, which, you know, that this $2.55 million is more than you'd like to pay for Sean Richardson. I get that. But what I think people are maybe doing is estimating his worth as a backup safety and not including his worth on special teams, if you think that they shouldn't do this. Richardson, you know, led both the team and the NFL with 17 special teams tackles in 2014. Mike McCarthy had praised Sean Richardson on multiple occasions throughout the course of the 2014 season, and specifically his contributions to special teams. And I know the Packers' special teams were rather pitiful, but I do think that Sean Richardson was one aspect of that unit that I think was rather, you know, good. And to me, it's amazing in terms of, like, you look back at his injury, that neck surgery had, and you think a player like him might be tentative, you know, to sell himself out, you know, covering kicks and things like that. And I didn't see that from Sean Richardson. He was out there, you know, giving it his all. And that is really remarkable. And I thought he did a fantastic, fantastic job. Now, you also look at this in light of who the Packers lost this offseason. And, you know, they didn't lose a whole lot of big names, but take a look at Devon House, Brandon Bostic, Jamari Lattimore, the guys who left. These were mostly core special teams players. And again, albeit maybe not the greatest special teams players when you're talking about players like Bostic, DeJuan Harris, things like that. But still, I think you do want to retain the guy who's maybe the best out of all of them. And So the Packers were offering, essentially, the lowest tender offer was $1.5 million. The Raiders offering now $1 million more than that. I don't think that is outrageous, and I think the Packers can, like I said, can match that. I think the Raiders recognize Richardson's worth here. And I do wonder, perhaps, if they have a role in mind for him as a dime linebacker that seems to be coming in vogue in the NFL, such as the Arizona Cardinals have basically done with Deion Buchanan. And I personally wonder if the Packers should consider the same. They should have considered it this last season when they had A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones out there in dime situations. I don't get it. I mean, you just look at those guys' athleticism, and they simply didn't have it. And I thought Sean Richardson could, I realize it's something you'd have to work on. That's making him essentially a linebacker. There's going to be some different responsibilities and areas of the field he maybe hasn't used to covering and things like that. But, I mean, to me, you see the athleticism out there on special teams. He's got the height. He's got the weight. He seems to have the requisite amount of speed. I mean, it's definitely no less than the likes of A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones. I think, you know, that this is something you should consider, and especially, you know, going forward here, you look at the Packers' inside linebacker situation, and if you don't get an inside linebacker in the first round, you wonder if they're addressing the position in the second round or beyond the third round if you're not getting a guy ready to play right away. Well, now you're looking at the inside linebacker situation, Clay Matthews and Sam Barrington, and then any number of guys who may or may not contribute, like Carl Bradford or Nate Palmer, who may pan out or may not. But, you got Clay Matthews there at inside linebacker, and you like to have him rushing the passer at on the outside as well. Well, this is maybe one way you can do that if you're using Sean Richardson in the dime, a guy who's used to being out on the field in third and long situations and covering, but still has the size enough to make a tackle if called upon to do it. It makes sense to me, and maybe that's the way the Packers have to think about this when they're considering, you know, whether or not to spend this amount of money, $2.55 million. Now, another reason the Packers should match the offer here is now Sean Richardson, you're able to retain his rights for one more season. Now, just hypothetically here, if Richardson were to receive this contract offer next season as an unrestricted free agent, the Packers would get draft pick compensation, or I should say could get draft pick compensation, considering, assuming the amount of free agents they lose is more than the amount of free agents they sign, which is typically the case. You know, the Packers have never been under Ted Thompson big free agent spenders, and especially not the unrestricted type. You know, when they did get involved, like last season, when they signed Julius Peppers and LaTroy Guyon, these guys were street free agents. They weren't unrestricted free agents. They were different category, and I know that can get complicated sometimes, but I that's what you have to understand when you're a front office executive in the NFL. But I think too, you retain his rights for one more season. Now all of a sudden, NFL teams are starting to see out there, I think, too. You realize, wow, the Raiders must really like this guy. You know, what is it about him that they like? And they see he's a really good special teams player, and they see he's got ability to play in certain packages on defense. And maybe he does get this kind of offer.
I mean, if he were an unrestricted free agent signing a deal for $2.55 million, that's like an extra draft choice. I don't know what round it's going to come in, sixth round, seventh round, perhaps. But regardless, it's going to net you something if they qualify, you know, with the free agent signings. So I think that's that, on top of all these reasons I mentioned before, are reasons you bring Sean Richardson back. Because if he were to leave, and again, hypothetically here, all of a sudden depth at the safety position in Green Bay becomes more of a need, you know, perhaps not a primary need. You still got your starters. You still got HaHa Glenn Dix. You still got Morgan Burnett. You still got Micah Hyde. But, you know, a need nonetheless, kind of a secondary need. Yeah, I mean, you still need a fourth safety on the roster and, you know, ideally a guy that can be a special teams contributor. So, I do think that, you know, just another reason to keep him around. It's just, to me, it's starting to become I'm convincing myself it's becoming a no-brainer almost to match this offer. Again, I understand why, it's a lot of money. I do get that, you know, for a guy who most people perceive as maybe not worth quite that much. Kind of a situation like Jamari Lattimore last year a little bit, in that, I think the Packers, when he got his restricted free agent tender, people were wondering, is he quite worth that much? Packers ultimately decided he was, paid probably a little more than he'd be worth on the open market, as they ended up seeing when he was eventually an unrestricted free agent. I digress. Sean Richardson, it's interesting. They found roles for him on defense this past season in Green Bay. And so they used him in, for one, short yardage situations, kind of on the goal line or when it's third and one or things like that. And that made sense to me. What was really, really interesting was that the Packers also used Sean Richardson when teams were backed up on their own goal line. I think he actually came in for HaHa Clinton Dix. Don't quote me on that, but I think if I were to go look at film, especially late in the season, it wouldn't even be short yardage. It would be first and 10. But if a team was backed up, like say on their 1 yard line, if the Packers happened to, you know, pin a punt down at the one or something like that, they would put Sean Richardson in. It was just unlike, you know, any sort of package I've ever seen before. Like when teams are backed up to their own goal line, that's when he would come in. I'd never seen that by any team in the NFL designing that type of changing personnel based on that type of situation. Just an interesting side note, but to kind of continue our conversation here, I thought this would be a great lead into this. Hypothetically, if Sean Richardson were to leave and the Packers are, you know, now in need of safety depth, you know, getting into a little bit of NFL draft talk, now that we're less than a month away, 3 weeks from this upcoming Thursday, 3 weeks from tomorrow, I thought, you know, here's a good time to go through maybe some of the safeties in this year's NFL draft. And appropriately, I'm, you know, of course, the editor of our Pro Football Draft preview publication here at Cheesehead TV. Just one of many authors, but, you know, I am the safety guy. Everybody, you know, all our authors are, we kind of divvy up the positions a little bit. Being myself a former safety, this is the position, I focus on and I analyze and things like that. So I just, I thought here's a great time to go through, what's out there and what the Packers, might be looking at should Sean Richardson leave. And to kind of go through some of the top guys, And of course, our, you know, shameless plug here, the Pro Football Draft preview is available now for instant download at CheeseheadTV.com when the homepage is not taken over by our show. You can see the widget right on the homepage. Pre-sales are order, pre-orders, and now it's just instant download, which is nice because you can, you know, as soon as you make the purchase, download it immediately. It's available on your laptop, desktop, mobile device, tablet, whatever you use, which is really nice. But so if you go to our safety section, you'll see my rankings and you know, basically go over my top five here. I've got Alabama safety Landon Collins as the number one overall safety in this year's draft class. And you know what? He might be the best safety in 5 years of putting out a draft guide here at Cheesehead TV. He may be the best safety I've seen on film because I think he's very well-rounded. I mean, he's your typical box safety, hard hitter, comes downhill really fast, hard tackler, not afraid to make big tackles, take on blockers, anything like that, real physical. But, you know, when he's asked to be a deep safety and do, you know, be out there in deep coverage, he's not out of his element. He's not ha-ha Clint Dix. But when, you know, he's asked to be out there in cover two situations, things like that, when he's 10 yards off the ball and he's, you know, asked to, you know, go with the safety down the seam or, you know, whatever comes into his zone, things like that, he's able to hold his own. You know, he's a little bit stiffer than your prototypical free safety, but still, he's still around the football. He doesn't grab a lot of interceptions, but he does, you know, get his hands on some balls, tip some passes, bat some down, things like that. I liked him a lot. What I was kind of disappointed in, when I went to the NFL Combine and, you know, took part in his interview, I may have mentioned this before, or I may have mentioned it on a radio interview. When he had his interview with the media's press conference, I remember trying to transcribe his interview. And he just said some unintelligible things, like he was like making up words that didn't even exist. And I was just like, how do I even transcribe this? It's not even English, a few of the things he said. And which made me think, well, maybe this guy is going to struggle a little bit with the mental aspect of the game. And, you know, I'm going by one interview here, which probably isn't fair, but it was not a good signal that, you know, he was making up words and things like that. And, you know, again, I've got the audio proof of this. But that being said, again, best safety on film I've seen in 5 years, that just goes to show, you know, as long as he knows his responsibilities, maybe Landon Collins isn't going to be a leader on your defense, maybe not a play caller. Maybe you got to team him up with a veteran out there, but can still be a pretty darn good safety. You know, I mean, it is football. This isn't, you know, you'll see I wrote this in the draft guide. It's not, you know, brain surgery. It's not rocket science. It's football. As long as he knows his responsibilities out there, can still be a very good player. And whatever, you know, deficiencies I may have noted, still have him as the number one player regardless. So, you know, I'm just trying to be a little bit well-rounded in my analysis here to give the good with the bad a little bit. Number two prospect, Demarius Randall of Arizona State. Absolutely love him. You just don't like his size. He's a little bit diminutive. And I say a little bit. He's listed at 5'11", and again, I know I've mentioned this before, they always round up fractions in the NFL. So you could be 5'10 and a half, and they round up to the nearest half inch, which makes you 5'11". He's a little bit short, but man, he is just a rocket out on the football field. Fearless, you know, makes tackles everywhere, but gets from point A to point B really fast. Makes a lot of for a safety, a lot of plays in the backfield. Like, you'll see him make tackles for a loss. And you just don't see that from safeties. And so I really like what he does. The one, you know, thing that I don't like is he's kind of short. He's built enough for his size. I mean, he packs the pounds on the frame, and he seems to be well built. But just you worry, you know, all of a sudden if he's in coverage against a tight end or whoever, you know, assuming it's not just some short little slot back, you know, he could be taken advantage of there in the passing game. But he's as, you know, physical and fiery as they come. And I really like him from that aspect. And I have him as our number two overall safety. Number three, Cody Pruitt of Ole Miss. I have him as the number three overall safety. But by default, the number one overall kind of free safety player who fits that type of mold. And I do think he's really good as a playmaker. He's out there and he can make plays on the football, seems to grab, you know, a good amount of interceptions, gets his hands on some footballs, has a a guy who can force a fumble, things like that. Those are his positives. That on the negative side of the ledger, a guy who what I would see from when I watched film on him, you think he would go for the kill shot. Like he could, you know, and I should be careful with that word sometimes, but I mean, receivers coming over the middle, he will absolutely sometimes lay him out, lay a shoulder into him, and it's dangerous to come into his area. But what's interesting, you see that and you think, oh man, he is physical. But then you just see him try. He doesn't seem, it's like he relishes the opportunity to go for the kill shot, which is just like, you know, putting a shoulder into someone. But when it comes to like having to take people head on, you know, get down and break down and tackle or take on a blocker, it's like the physicality disappears then. And I really didn't like that about Cody Pruitt. It's interesting. Like, you think he's physical by those big hits over the middle, but it's like, you know, it's just throwing a shoulder into someone. It's not having to, you know, really take on someone where, you know, if you got to take a running back who's got a head of steam, you know, you might get the poor end of the bargain, the short end of the stick. He seems like he just doesn't seem physical then at that point. Like he shies away from it a little bit. So I don't know if that's something that can be fixed or not, but that's what had him a little bit lower down the list. My number four prospect, Ibrahim Campbell of Northwestern. Very smart. He's a guy who went to an academy in high school and found that up by attending Northwestern, which, you know, those things in itself are impressive. And so from a mental standpoint, here's a guy who's going to be a leader, who's going to know what he's doing. And he was really productive at Northwestern. Basically, in 4 years, you know, I think he grabbed 11 interceptions. He forced 6 fumbles. So really productive. I mean, partially it's a product of playing so much. But I mean, he was productive when he was out there, though. When you're out there for a reason. And so that's what I like about that. He sometimes, you know, was slow to transition or inconsistent, I guess, when I watched film would be the word to use. Just doesn't look like, you know, maybe the coaching wasn't there. Maybe that'll come. You know, things like technique, backpedal, flipping the hips, and then having to, after backpedaling, have then come forward and make a tackle or things like that. He looked inconsistent doing those things in college, but again, maybe that's just something that comes in time and could, you know, really, you know, make up for that. So he's the number four safety, and number five, Anthony Harris of Virginia. Here's a guy who grabbed 8 interceptions his junior year in college. He's got the height you want. He's 6 foot one, but at the NFL Combine, he was only 183 pounds, which that's about as light as it gets for a safety, 183. He needs to put on weight. And the good news is at 6 foot one, he's got the frame to add it, which is good, but he's got to do it because, boy, at 183 pounds in the NFL as a safety, maybe you can get away with that as a cornerback, but as a safety, you're going to take a pounding over the course of 17, weeks of the regular season and 4 weeks of preseason playoffs on top of that. You know, he's definitely has the ball skills. Like I said, 8 interceptions in one season as a junior and shows his big playability. But got to add some weight. But I do think the frame is there. So those are my top 5 guys, top safeties in this year's draft class. 2 guys kind of interesting, just, brief notes here. Guys from the FCS level, Dean Marlowe and Jakiski Tart. I'm not even sure how to pronounce the first name. Jakiski Tart. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. Anyway, a lot of people are high on Tart. And when I watched film on these guys, I wasn't quite there on him. I do see a guy who's got a high ceiling, but people like Tart is because he's prototypical size. He's like, what, I got the measurements here somewhere. 6'1 and 221 pounds. And that's big. That's a big safety. But, he sometimes looked confused out there to me, didn't know what he was doing, didn't know what his responsibilities were, looked a step slow a lot of times. Whereas a guy, Dean Marlowe from James Madison, I almost liked him better. He's not quite as big. They're both 6'1". But Marlowe is lighter. He's only 203 pounds. But I did really like what I saw from him. He seemed to be the better athlete to me. I've seen comparisons to Eric Weddle. They're almost clones. Like when you look at every, just from a size standpoint from one, but what they were doing, their drills at the combine, the 40 and all the, 3-cone shuttles, whatever. They're almost clones. And I do think there's potential there for Dean Marlowe to be that kind of player. I mean, it's going to be a transition from the FCS to the, NFL type football, no doubt about it. But I think there's a lot of potential there. And if you're looking at a real sleeper, a late round guy or maybe even an undrafted free agent, and again, I realize this is a couple more safeties down, but I'll just throw this name out there. Damian Parms of Florida Atlantic. What's interesting about him is I went back and looked at his, statistics. He only had one interception his entire college career. He played at Florida Atlantic, and you think, oh no, 4 years and all you got is one interception to show for it. Then all of a sudden he's invited to the East-West Shrine Game. He grabs 2 interceptions that game alone in an all-star environment against, what you think are NFL caliber players. And you think, oh, what's going on here? Why? He just looked really good. For one, he's got another guy with the prototypical size. He's got good height, good weight. And you just think maybe there was something going on with coaches or, maybe just Florida Atlantic is so bad that, they weren't putting him in good situations to make plays. I think he's a good developmental prospect. So I kind of really liked him. And maybe he's a guy you can develop and come along. I'll admit one guy I was low on was Penn State safety Adrian Amos. I've seen a lot of people high on him lately. And in fact, just read, I think it was Peter King's Sports Monday Morning Quarterback column. And he threw out some statistics from ProFootballFocus.com. Now, in fact, they're starting to focus more on the college game and offering a lot more, and how he just absolutely allowed a very, very low passer rating when opposing quarterbacks are passing to his coverage area or his responsibility. And I was like, wow, that never really occurred to me when I was, you know, watching the little bit of film I watched on him. Something maybe I should go back and look at a little bit more. I know he was, you know, invited to the Senior Bowl and things like that. So maybe there's more there that, than meets the eye that I'm missing. And I acknowledge that. So, but anyway, there is your breakdown of safeties in this year's NFL draft class. And to kind of, you know, start wrapping up the show here, before we do, though, I want to just one last bit of news here on the Green Bay Packers, the kind of one other notable thing that kind of came out in the past 24 hours. I know Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com, who was, again, the first I saw reported, somebody else could have, if they did, I missed it, but had details of B.J. Raji's contract. Not that we didn't know that already, but kind of really found out the incentives. You know, he signed a very incentivized contract that I think can be worth up to $4 million if he were to get everything, which is probably unlikely. But anyway, Rob Domofsky here at ESPN reports, and I quote here, quote, "It also includes a roster bonus of up to $1 million in the form of weekly bonuses of $62,500 per game active, which for cap purposes makes the deal worth $2.75 million. It also contains another $1.25 million in incentives that include playing time, playoff, and Pro Bowl bonuses," end quote. So there you go, finding out what B.J. Raji can potentially get from the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, basically, he's got to, one, just be healthy and out there and active every week. You know, that'll start to get him some bonuses. And, you know, maybe if he's really motivated, you know, he makes the Pro Bowl, the Packers make the playoffs, or, you know, the further they get into the playoffs, the more they'll make. So, and I think that's good. I think that was a good way to structure B.J. Raji's contract for a guy who's, you know, coming off injury and a guy who's been trending in the wrong direction for a few years. I just thought that was notable here. And in our last segment, and this will be a rather short one,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, and you know, I can't even say it's going to happen in the next day here, but just to go back briefly to the Sean Richardson situation, the Packers, you know, the way I think the NFL words it is, they have 5 days to match the offer of the Oakland Raiders. And I think what that is 5 business days. I've actually saw the Transaction Wire report, and it says the Packers do have until next Monday, so I think it's the 13th of April, to match the offer here of the Raiders. So they got, you know, it's not 5 calendar days. It's like 5 business days. So, you know, could be as late. I mean, the Packers could match at any time. They could do it today, is basically what I'm trying to say. But I would assume, as, you know, NFL teams in general tend to take their time, and maybe they'd take it down to the very last day. Give some time to think about it and discuss it. You know, I'm sure Ted Thompson isn't going to make the discussion alone. He's going to talk to coaches and talk to his other staff on hand and things like that, and set up some meetings and decide what they're going to do. But that's good. I mean, they got a little time to decide, and maybe they make the Raiders sweat it out a little bit. So anyway, that's what we're looking forward to next. At least that's on the foreseeable horizon. So again, so many things come out of the blue, like, just yesterday, never could have even have projected that the Richardson would have gotten an offer at all. But this is one of the next things on the horizon, and that'll end up doing it for today's episode of Railbird Central. So Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to, once again, another episode. We have live editions every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, podcasted later in the day. Please, my call to action, as usual, if you have not already, please give us a rating on iTunes. We don't have a subscription paywall here at Cheesehead TV. All the content is free. One small thing we ask for providing you this content, do us a favor. Give us a rating on iTunes if you haven't already. We'd sure do appreciate it. Helps get the word out about the show and helps make this an even better product. So we'll see you later. We'll see you on Friday, folks, our next edition. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Brian Kiravu. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, have a good day. We're kind of ignoring what we talked about on Wednesday, the Badgers loss in the national championship game, Brewers 0-2 to start the season. We're focusing on Packers football right now until better things come along. We'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song called Different Light by Steve Winwood on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.